Emily Kaplan, ESPN's own Emily Kaplan. Thanks for this, Emily. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys?
We're good. You know, here in Canada, we really appreciate when the Americans pay attention to our sports. And you know, seeing ESPN front page news with the NHL and NHL's back on the ESPN tabs, we're really excited this week. I'm pumped. This is good.
Honestly, I've just been pumped. And so the fact that you guys are pumped, too, that makes me feel seen. So we'll share this experience together.
That's awesome. We love it. It's really been it's been an interesting couple of weeks in Vancouver, and the situation continues to be an interesting one as it plays out. And I'm wondering from your perspective, given everything that's gone on, how do you see the league and how they are dealing with this situation with the Vancouver Canucks right now, and how they plan to progress through the COVID situation that the Canucks have gone through?
If I had to say how the league is handling it, I'd probably say cautiously. You know, they're aiming to get them back on the ice by the end of next week, but I'm just told that everything is still super fluid. You know, they don't know how these players are going to recover. We know that there are some guys who are pretty symptomatic with some pretty intense symptoms. And, you know, we'll have to see when these guys get cleared. When can they produce negative tests? When does the cardiologist clear them? Guys who are asymptomatic have different thresholds than guys who are symptomatic. So all of this is to say there's a lot still up in the air, and I know we want some clarity. I think they're handling it, you know, probably as well as they've handled anything at this point, which is just the best you can in the moment.
Well, the question now, Emily, too, I mean, obviously, first and foremost, it's everybody recovering, being healthy, and then being okay. But from the league's perspective, it essentially comes down to what do they learn from this experience, and how do they approach how this all unfolded? Do you think the league is going to take a information approach and, hey, we're just trying to make this a lot better? Are they going to take a bit of a, say, disciplinarian approach if protocol was broken in some degree? Like, how do you think the league's approaching how this all unfolded and how transparent they might be in showing the public what may have happened?
First half, I think they're definitely being just information gathering right now. I do hear that they did ask, you know, the Canucks a lot of questions about their protocol. From my understanding, though, the Canucks followed, you know, everything that the NHL has been asking. I know that there's a lot being made about Adam Gaudet being on the ice Tuesday morning, you know, getting pulled from practice and then confirming that positive test that night. I would guess that that's something that we're going to see, you know, the league look at and say, is this really the best practice? Because the truth is we are so close to the finish line. And the finish line is awarding the Stanley Cup. That's the moment that Gary Bettman and Bill Daly are going to breathe easy. And they want to do everything they can to get to that point so that next year can be as normal as possible. So if that means they have to change some protocols right before the playoffs, so be it. But you just have to remember all of those protocol changes would have to be signed off on by the NHLPA. And we know that players will have opinions.
Well, the Canucks are going through it right now, but that's more representative of what's going on in Canada right now. We're going through a third wave, and things are pretty serious. But the situation south of the border, we're seeing, you know, teams like the Dallas Stars get vaccinated, the New York Rangers I saw as well on social media. That process is going on. What's the mood like for teams south of the border and U.S. teams? It seems like it's trending positively compared to what's going on with the Canucks right now.
Yeah, well, I was told not to talk about vaccine rollout with Canadians because it's just a little bit of a touchy subject.
It's a little touchy. I think yes.
A little touchy, yeah. You know, it's funny. I'm like, frustrated with my state because I was eligible for 3 weeks and couldn't get an appointment. And I was told, just like, Emily, shut up. Like, I got my first shot on Monday. I'm pretty pumped about it. And, yeah, I think that's what everyone here is feeling, is just a little bit of optimism. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. We do know that when a majority of people are vaccinated, that's when we can get fans back. That's what players want the most. That's when we can start getting revenue back in normalcy. So, you know, it's hard to keep track right now of who exactly has received what, but I do know there are a lot of NHL teams getting assistance from the NHLPA as well as the league to procure vaccines when it's available, when, you know, it's the player's turn. It doesn't sound like anyone is cutting the line. And, you know, it could be a very different picture down here come playoff time than maybe it is up north.
Emily Kaplan, our guest here on The People's Show. NHL trade deadline coverage brought to you by Andrew Sherritt Limited, your local family and employee-owned wholesale distributor with locations across Western Canada. Purchase heating, plumbing, and irrigation supplies online at Sherritt.com. We are less than a week away from the deadline, and it's definitely trending towards being a a quieter deadline than usual, Emily. Who do you think ends up as the biggest mover through the next few days?
It's such a tough question because it really feels like there's just a skewed amount of supply and demand. But if you're talking about people who are unloading contracts, you have to think that the Detroit Red Wings once again are going to be leading the pack. They've got a lot of guys that, you know, are playing hard, but they know that in a different environment and maybe given a different role, they could just be the missing piece. And so I'm looking at a lot of those guys to move. And I think GMs are definitely calling Steve Yzerman, and Steve Yzerman's number one goal is collecting as many draft picks and as many prospects as possible. So knowing that this year is not the year, I expect them to be a busy team again.
Who do you think is going to be the best player that gets traded at the deadline, Emily?
That's a great question. You know, and it's funny too, because like you look at the NBA and you see someone like Blake Griffin and you're like, oh, I don't know if that's a great move, but all of a sudden new team, new energy, and like they're figuring it out. You know, if I'm looking on the Red Wings, honestly, Bobby Ryan is a guy who started the season pretty hot. Like if you throw him on like the third line of Boston, that could be a really, really good pickup. So that's like more of a budget option than like a Taylor Hall or a Kyle Palmieri. I think you can get him for more like a mid-round pick. It's not answering your question. It's just something I'd like to see.
Well, the Avs are the NHL's true juggernaut. Sorry, Chris Johnston. It's not the Leafs. I know he's rescinded that as of a couple of weeks ago. But do they need to do anything at the deadline?
Yes, absolutely. There's one area they need to address more than anything else, and it's the goaltending position. You know, you've seen all the stats. They're freaking fantastic in this 15-game stretch. And a part of that fantasticness is Philip Grubauer. I think if I was voting today, I'd put him in my top three for Vezina. But we saw from that team last year in the playoffs and the way they flamed out, if they are one Philip Grubauer injury away from disaster. And I've talked to guys on that team after last year's playoff, and that's really what they believed. If they just had one goaltender at the end, they were down to like their third string, it would have been a different fate. So I know they got the kid from Buffalo. That's fine. It's good to have bodies there, but I'd like to see them go after one of the bigger names.
At Emily M. Kaplan is where you can find her on Twitter. It's crazy. Like I'm old enough to remember when people were criticizing Joe Sakic for not pulling the trigger on a Matt Duchene trade, and then you know he got the windfall that he was waiting for, and how it all played out. But just like how did Colorado get here? You know, like they were so bad in that lockout year. They really struggled after the Patrick Waugh one miracle season where they made the playoffs. What happened that the Colorado Avalanche have just built an absolute juggernaut here?
You know, I talked to Gabe Landeskog about that in the beginning of the season because, like, if you remember when he was named captain first when he was super young, secondly, the team just sucked. And just imagine, firstly, just being a young guy in this league given that pressure. And I think he's done a really great job with it. But you know, at some point it just became embarrassing when they were the worst team in the league. It was embarrassing for them. They're losing every night, it degraded at them, and they never wanted to do it again. You know, obviously they didn't get the number one pick that year. They slipped to number four. They picked Cale Makar. And I think if you're asking how they built that, I think you would look at that moment as the turning point.
You know, looking at the hierarchy of the National Hockey League, you know, the Colorado Avalanche are unreal. We all know how good Tampa is going to be, especially when they get really healthy. Is there a team that you've been really impressed by that you kind of want to put into that Stanley Cup contender category this season?
For me, and I know people who might have seen my power rankings today and thought they were ranked too low, but it's the New York Islanders. I think that they have all of the components for being a really, really scary team. A team that no one really seems to pay attention to or want to give credit to until all of a sudden it's like the third playoff round and they've already knocked off two people. We were like saying we're going to be Stanley Cup champs. So I do think Lou Lamoriello is going to be very active at this deadline. I think, you know, the number one obvious need is replacing Anders Lee, their captain, as a scoring winger, and I think they'll find someone. And I'm just looking forward to seeing how far they go.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Emily Kaplan. Emily, staying in New York, but going to the other team, the New York Rangers. Adam Fox, he's been their best young player, arguably one of their best players this season. when you're thinking about Norris Trophy contenders, is he a top three guy for you this year? Is he there with Hedman and potentially Cale Makar?
Yeah, I think he's quickly rising, but especially because we know how Norris Trophy voters think. They love to look at those offensive numbers. But he does have a really great all-around game. And I think especially as the Rangers make this push for the playoffs, and it's maybe not so unlikely. You saw how great they played last night. I think he's going to start getting more and more attention.
Emily, we always appreciate the time. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.